Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. When Sati annihilated her body in anger, there was a tumultuous roar all over the universe. Why had Sati, the wife of the most respectable demigod, Lord Shiva, quit her body in such a manner? Purport. There was a tumultuous roaring all over the universe in the societies of the demigods of different planets because Sati was the daughter of Daksha, the greatest of all kings, and the wife of Lord Shiva, the greatest of all demigods. Why did Sati become so angry that she gave up her body by the mystic fire of yoga, since she was the daughter of a great personality and the wife of a great personality? She had nothing to desire, but still she gave up her body in dissatisfaction. Certainly this was astonishing. One cannot attain complete satisfaction even if one is situated in the greatest material opulence. There was nothing Sati could not achieve, either from her relationship with her father or from her relationship with the greatest of the demigods. But still, for some reason, she was dissatisfied. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.6 explains that one has to achieve real satisfaction, the Atma Supersedity. But Atma, the body, mind, and soul, all become completely satisfied only if one develops devotional service to the Absolute Truth. Savepam Samparo Dharamo Yatto Bhaktir Hokshaje. Adhokshaja means the Absolute Truth. If one can develop his unflinching love for the transcendental Supreme Personality of Godhead, that can give complete satisfaction. Otherwise, there is no possibility of satisfaction in the material world or anywhere else. So Vyasadeva was asking a question. Why did she do it? Why did the wife of Lord Shiva, Sati, burn up her body in the mystic yoga fire? Srila Prabhupada, of course, the answer is here in the Bhagavatam. But Srila Prabhupada gives the answer in his purport by saying she gave up her body because of dissatisfaction. She was not satisfied. And someone might ask the question, how could she not be satisfied? She had everything. She had everything or possessed. She had everything money could buy. She possessed everything and anything that one would desire. She came from an illustrious family. Her father is Daksha, the great Prajapati, progenitor. So she was famous by her father's side. A wealthy, influential, famous personality in the whole universe, not just in Bollywood. Not a famous person in Bollywood, but a famous person of the whole universe, King Daksha. So from that side, she has no cause of dissatisfaction. Born in aristocracy, surrounded by wealth and opulence, and her father, Daksha, gave her body. Her body is celestial, divine, beautiful, most attractive. It says in Bhagavati Durga, or Bhagavati Sati or Durga, Bhagavati, she is practically as beautiful as Lakshmi Devi. Because actually all the Shaktis or Devis, the celestial damsels of the higher planets, like Shachi, Arundhati, and Sati or Durga, they're all expansions of the goddesses of fortune. Radharani expands into Kayavyuha, into her Astasakhi gopis and Manjaris. They expand into the Mahishis of Dwarka, the queens of Dwarka, the Nityaparishads of Krishna. And they expand across the Karna Samudra. They expand their forms as the wives of the demigods. This is explained in Jiva Dharma and songs by Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Lago Bhagavatamrita, and other places, also in Brahma Samhita. So what is she unhappy about? From her father's side, there is no cause for unhappiness. There is no cause for dissatisfaction. So then one might say, well, she had a very wonderful upbringing, aristocracy, and a very famous father, a famous lineage. So she had everything from that side, but she married a bad person. Like sometimes some very prestigious Hindu lady marries a Muslim. Prestigious Hindu lady from an aristocratic family, she has a love marriage with a Muslim, and it becomes a great disturbance in society. So someone might conjecture, well, possibly the cause of Sati's dissatisfaction is that she married a bad person, a low-class person, a poor person, an ugly person. So now she was dissatisfied. It was an arranged marriage. Her father arranged her marriage, and she wasn't satisfied with the choice. This often happens. Especially in India, we have so many arranged marriages. So then the daughter of the father may not be satisfied with the arranged marriage. My father's wonderful, he's great. My family's wonderful, great. But my husband, Tigne, Achine, Ne Lakte, I don't like. But anyway, it's an arranged marriage, what to do? I'm not satisfied, I'm not pleased, but I have to submit to the will of my father and go on with my duty, my grihastha dharma. But Prabhupada is saying this is not the case with Sati. She's not dissatisfied with Lord Shiv. She's very happy. And who is Lord Shiva? Some small-time, low-class personality? No. He's Mahadev. Shankar Bhagavan, Mahadev. The greatest, most illustrious personality in the universe. Famous for his renunciation, famous for his compassion, famous for his dancing, his singing, his music, his tapasya. World famous. Everyone goes to him, asks for boons. Dhanam dehi, janam dehi, 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 dehi. Give me this, give me that. And he's busy meditating. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari. Meditating on Sankarshan Ram and chanting the Hari Ram mantra. There's no Krishna there, only Ram, Sankarshan. And then everyone goes to him and prays to him. Oh, Shiva, give me this, Shiva, give me that. Om Namo Shivaya, Om Namo Shivaya. And then Lord Shiva calls Parvati and says, listen, will you take care of these guys? Take care of these guys. They're bothering me. They're disturbing my japa. They're causing vikshep, distraction in my japa. Take care of them. All these passionate fools. Give them whatever they want. So then the wife carries out the will of the husband, provides all the arrangements to fulfill the boons and benedictions granted by Shiva. So now we see from our husband's side, no cause of dissatisfaction. Everything seems very supportive, encouraging, positive. Yet she threw away her body. That thing that which is most dear and near to us. Our physical frame, our mortal coil, our body, deha, sharir. It's me. I am this body. So dear, so near, so valuable, so precious. She burned it up, threw it away. Why? Because of dissatisfaction. She was not happy. With what? With the behavior of her father. Her father showed animosity and envy towards her husband, the great Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. So, out of her dissatisfaction with her father's behavior and his negligence and his offensive behavior towards her husband, she said, better I give up this body. It's not worth maintaining. I want to sever my connection with this illustrious father of mine. He's gone against the Vaishnava. He's an anti-Vaishnava. He's anti-husband. My husband is not just a husband, but he's a param bhakta, param Vaishnava. Vaishnava anam yata shambhu. Bhagavatam is saying, Vaishnava anam yata shambhu. Shambhu Shankara Bhagavan. It's actually, if you look at the tattva, Shiva, and from the side of Sadashiva, in the spiritual form of Shiva, Shiva is God worshipping himself, God worshipping God. Like Lord Chaitanya is God worshipping God. God comes as a devotee to worship God. Krishna comes as the greatest devotee, Lord Chaitanya. And then what does he do? He chants God's name, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. He propagates devotion to himself and propagates his own mantra. So Shankarshan, Balaram, he expands as Sarashiva. Anantashesh expands as Sarashiva. And then Sarashiva worships Sankarshan. And Bhagavan worshiping Sankarshan. And then that Sarashiva expands in the material world as Lord Shiva. His expanded form to control the tamagun and liberate all the bhutas and prates. So these are different forms of Shiva. So Bhagavan worshipping himself. So Sati is understanding the tattva, the position of her husband. My husband is not an ordinary husband, not a renounced yogi. That he is. He's Yogeshwar. He's a great yogi. But he's actually, in one sense, my husband is Bhagavan. In another sense, my husband is the greatest devotee of that Bhagavan. Vaishnavanam yata Shambhu. That Shambhu is the greatest Vaishnava. And Sati knows this. She knows the tattva. She knows who her husband is. The actual existential identity of Shiva, she knows quite clearly. She's not foolish. So there are many considerations in her decision. It wasn't simply an emotional outburst. Oh, I'm angry with my father. How can you treat my husband like this? Ha! Two! Shadir Katam Hogya. No. She's very, very much thoughtful. Sudhir. Sudhir means very sudhir, very fine discrimination, very fine intelligence. She decided that this is the best course of action. Why? It's the best course of action for me to preserve the integrity of my relationship with this great Vaishnava. Husband, okay, he's my husband on one level, but he's also a great Vaishnava. He's teaching me so many things. My husband taught me the Bhagavatam. Shiva spoke Bhagavatam to Sati. Shiva taught Radha Tattva to Sati. What is Radharani? What is the position of Radharani? I learned so much from my Guru Pati. Guru Pati. Pati husband means Guru. Pati is supposed to be Vaishnava. In Vedic culture, the husband is supposed to be a Vaishnava Guru. Guru means he teaches. Guru na shishyat, pitaro na shishyat. You can't take shishya, you can't take wife, you can't take student, you can't take a dependent unless you're Guru. Guru means heavy. Heavy in what? In money? Oh, my husband's a Kurapati. So what? This is Lagu. This is Lagu, not Guru. Guru means heavy with knowledge. Guru. Ru means to remove light. And Gu means darkness. Guru removes the darkness. Guru. So husband is meant to remove the darkness of bodily attachment. He removes the darkness of bodily attachment. Hankar, by giving spiritual knowledge to the student, to the wife, to the children. Don't be a father. Don't have children unless you're guru. Don't be a husband unless you're guru. Don't be a spiritual master unless you're guru. Heavy with knowledge. Otherwise, you're not fulfilling your function. So, on one level, he's my husband. He's my guru. So my father's making guru aparad, Vaishnava aparad. And my shame, I'm becoming shameful and embarrassed to have a connection with him, so let me give it up. Because my relationship with Guru is eternal. My relationship with my husband, Sati's relationship with her husband is eternal because he's her Guru. And when she came back as Parvati, again the relationship was established. Again she became the Shishya. But the main point is that Prabhupada is emphasizing here, he's taking this action of Sati and drawing a point for us. Because everything has its relationship. The Leela is going on Sati's level between her and her father Daksha and her husband Shiva and the Daksha Yajna. And it's for and what she's experiencing, what she's teaching by her behavior, that's on one level, but then what is she teaching for us? The Bhagavatam is highly relevant. It's not mythology, as they say in India, mythology. It's not mythology. It's not ancient. Puran means ancient, old, history. But as they say, there is nothing new under the sun. Janma mrityu dravyadi dukkha dosha darshanam, birth, death, old age, disease, suffering, ahara, nidra, maitun, bhayam, eating, sleeping, mating, defending have been going on eternally. People have been bound in the samsara chakra eternally. People are taking birth and dying eternally. People are bound eternally. Nitya bhata, eternally bound. So the Bhagavatam is giving knowledge. This is moksha gyan. Moksha gyan, the knowledge to liberate the jiva. So therefore, Bhagavatam is most relevant, most apropos, most contemporary. It's modern. It's contemporary. We say Puran, but actually it is Abiran. Abhi, I don't know how you say now. Abhi means now. So Puran is Abiran. Puran Abiran. It is now. It is now teaching. Can anyone in this room say they won't die? Can anyone say they don't eat, sleep, mate, defend? No, we do all these things. This is conditional life. Material existence moves around these, pivots around these activities. And Bhagavatam addresses these activities. So therefore it's very relevant. So then, what is the relevance? When we read any verse or any chapter of Bhagavatam, the first question we have to ask is, what does it mean to me? Because this is the usual calculation. The usual calculation in this material world is, what can you do for me? What profit can I make from you for me? How can I advance my cause by you, utilizing you or exploiting you? Basic exploitative mentality, which runs the world. Consumerism, democracy, republic, it's all this. It's all expressions of exploitation. So therefore, although this sounds negative, we don't want to exploit the Bhagavatam. We want to serve the Bhagavatam. Serve the Bhagavatam by becoming submissive to the teachings, by surrendering to the instructions. And therefore, we have to ask, what is the teaching here? So either we can extract the teaching by our own perception and by our own insight, or we take advantage of the insightful perception of realized souls. They're called Mahajans, Mahajanacharyas, and they write tikkas, commentary on each verse. So Gurudev Srila Prabhupada is saying that this particular verse, Sati gave up her body in the mystic fire due to anger with the behavior of her father because he mistreated her Vaishnava husband, the Param Vaishnava, Lord Shiva. This shows that she was dissatisfied. Although her father was so great and her husband was so great, there was no dissatisfaction with Shiva, her husband. She was dissatisfied with her father's behavior. So she gave up her body to sever that connection. So now, Prabhupada describes all about satisfaction. That material activities, material relationships, no matter how good they are, this is a point Prabhupada makes in a few sentences in his purport, no matter how great material relationships are, the bottom line is, the conclusion is, dissatisfaction. Non-fulfillment. Impermanence. Temporality, limitation. So therefore, this is what is being said here, that Parvati, she had everything, the greatest husband, but she was dissatisfied. And what do we have compared to Parvati, or Sati? Well, no, she's Parvati later, now she's Sati. What do we have compared to Sati? Do we have an illustrious father and mother and great dynasty and wonderful husband or wife? Yeah, we can't compare. Our relationships are so paltry and insignificant compared to her. But she was dissatisfied. So if we think, oh, I'm very satisfied, that indicates the depth of our illusion. If we think I'm very satisfied, it indicates the depth of our illusion. Now, even if you take the spiritual circle, which we're going to get to, there's some principle of dissatisfaction there, which we'll discuss later. I was thinking, if you look at this word in English, because in Sanskrit, Sanskrit commentators, they break up words in different ways. It's called sandhi. Sandhi, or how the words are combined or joined. So you can say, like there's the word Krishnananda. You can say Krishna Nanda, or you can say Krishna Ananda. There's different ways to break the word, Krishnananda or Krishnananda, and derive different meanings from the same Sanskrit. So we look at this word satisfaction. S-A-T-I-S-F-A-C-T-I-O-N. So I wanted to write it on the board, but there's no room. It's very interesting. There's space? You can erase? If someone can erase that, you know, part of that verse, then we could have a little show and tell demonstration. It'll keep me from falling asleep because I have to stand up and go to the blackboard. So this word, satisfaction, there's S-A-T, sat. Then there's sat, then there's I-S-F. Then there's action. Sat, is, fa, and action. So satisfaction is a combination of three English words. Sat, isfa, and action. Action means karma. So the word is satisfaction or dissatisfaction. So that action, actually action, satisfaction, is your action satisfying? Isfa. Sat, isfa, action. So if your action is sat, eternal, then you will get satisfaction. If your action, see, action is there. Sat, I'm not getting any satisfaction in my life. My relationship, my wife, husband is not satisfying me. Money, this, that, physically, emotionally, blah, 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 this, that. My job is not satisfying me. My employer is not satisfying me. This world, this city, my this, that. So my action, because sat, satchidananda. Sat means eternal. Sat means eternal. That means devotional service, bhakti, which Prabhupada mentions here. Savaipum sampro dharamo. So action, which is action, isfa. In other words, is for, is, I is, I is it. Isfa. Is action is for eternity. So you can, it's, I think it's enough on this word. But you get the idea that if our action is sat, which means connected to God, which means eternal action, which means bhakti. Bhakti yoga is eternal. Bhakti is eternal. Serving God is eternal. The Atma is eternal. Bhagavan is eternal. And our sambandha, our relationship, jiva bhagavan sambandha is nitya sambandha, prem sambandha. So when one is fixed in that relationship, that is sat. And when he acts, when there's action in relation to sat, the sat dham, the sat bhagavan, then there's satisfaction. So this question was asked in this very country. This is the country where everyone should know the secret of satisfaction. The other countries of the world, no one ever asked this question. No one ever, only in this country was this question asked. This country, India, Bharat Bhumi, is based on the answer to this question. The land of India and these people of India, they actually have the answer to the question. The question is, how can a human being find ultimate satisfaction? This is the question. How can a human being find the ultimate, perfect, complete satisfaction? And this question was asked here in this country, India. Of course, it wasn't India then. It's called Bharat Bhumi, Bharat Varsh. Where was it asked? It was asked in North India, in Naimisharanya. Who asked it? Munis, rishis, buddhivans, intelligent people asked an intelligent question. Intelligent people, they ask intelligent questions and they seek the answer from intelligent persons. So on behalf of the intelligent rishis gathered at Naimisharanya, Shonaka Rishi asked Sutadev Goswami, Suta Goswami, we all have gathered here to do a yagya, a homa, big yagya, to try to counteract Kali Yuga. Because we know that this Kali Yuga is coming, so people will be fighting and there will be so much quarreling, so much misunderstanding, so much bigotry, so much prejudice, so much unhappiness, so much anxiety. We see all of this by our Trikalagya, by our knowledge of the future. We see this. So we want to counteract this by this yagya. But all we're doing is getting blackface. We're only getting black face. Smoke is coming in our face because the wind is not favorable. The wind, the hawa, is not favorable because we're doing the fire. The wind is supposed to go in the other direction and take the smoke there. But Kali is making the wind come this way. And the smoke of the fire is blackening our faces. This is called dosh, yajna dosh. So we're not having success. So we're asking you, we have this question. How can the human beings find ultimate satisfaction? And then Sutta Goswami spoke this verse, which Prabhupada quotes in this commentary to this particular verse. Savai pumsa puro dharma yata bhakti rahoshije. He says, Ahoitiki apratiyata sayatma supersedati. Atma supersedati. How can the Atma, how can we find complete satisfaction? Atma means, as Prabhupada says in the purport, Atma means mind. Atma means body. Atma means soul, me, my individual identity. This is all included in Atma. Atma supersedati. So Sutta Goswami, he answers a question saying, if you want to find ultimate satisfaction, how can you find ultimate satisfaction? Then you must search for parodharma. Parodharma. That essential. You must discover the essential quality, the parodharma, the essential quality of the jiva. What is the essential quality of the Atma? The actual essential, the very essence of the Atma, the essence of the Atma is prema, love. And until one uncovers that primordial love within the heart and directs that love towards the proper person, there will never be satisfaction. And when one finds the proper object of love, the lovable object, then one will become absolutely dedicated to such a personality. Ahoituki apratiyata. Ahoituki. There will be no reason. There's no reason. There's no cause. There's no break. That love will not be broken. That loving relationship with the Supreme Person will not be broken by karma, or broken by gyan, or broken by abhilash. And it will be continuous. Real love is continuous. Real love is eternal. Real love is ever expanding, and real love is completely fulfilling. So this is the answer that he gave. Ahoituki apratiyata. That you don't love for a reason. Ahoituki means loving, means ahoituki. Without any reason. If there's reason, that means there's calculation. That means you're saying, yes, I'll scratch your back if you scratch mine. This is not love, this is lust. That I am making an arrangement to combine with you, man or woman or mother, father, anyone, because I want to extract pleasure from you. I want to utilize you for my purposes, physical, emotional, sensual, or whatever. This is lust. This is not love. So this is hoituki. This is full of cause. This is full of reason. I'm loving you for a reason, for your money. I'm loving you for your beauty, your body. So-called love. I love you because of your body, your beauty, your money, your position, your fame. This is not love, this is lust. This is hoituki. So Sutta Goswami, he defines the parameters, he gives the lakshana of this divine prem. Ahoituki. 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 No, because if you examine the nature of love, pure love liberates. Mukti means pure love. When one is established in pure love, divine love, he's already liberated. So, in short, to make it very short, like a sutra, love liberates. Now you can ask the question, how does love liberate? Because this was a problem with Sati and Daksha. Daksha didn't have sufficient love for Lord Shiva. He didn't have sufficient love for Sati. Because if you love me, then what do we say? If you love me, then love my dog. What to speak about? If you love me, love my God. Because Shiva is the God of Sati. The phrase is, if you love me, love my dog. There's so many dogs jumping around here in Juhu Beach. So if I go up to that dog and take a big stick and whack him on the head, or whoever has that dog, is that whoever that rich man is, if I hit his dog on the head, that man will start barking. The man will start barking. Ho, 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 ho. What are you doing? What are you doing? Ho, ho. You hit my dog. It's a most disrespectful, heinous offense. You love me, love my dog. So if you love me, love my God. My husband is my God. My guru, Guru Pati, he's my God. So, and he is God. Shiva is God. On one level. Expression, partial expression. So, but this was a problem with Daksha. He didn't have love. He didn't love the son-in-law. Does that sound familiar? Have you ever heard of such a thing? Where the father-in-law does not love the son-in-law? Have you heard this? Yes or no? Yes? You understand what I'm saying? So the father did not love the son-in-law, despite who he was. Daksha could care less. So this was a problem with love. But if we examine real love, when someone is actually in love with someone, if you're in love with someone, you actually have genuine love, you'll do anything for that person. There's nothing that you won't do to please and satisfy your beloved. In fact, if you love someone, you take the greatest pleasure in serving your beloved and giving happiness to your beloved. And we have this phrase, I'll do anything for you. I'll give you anything. So that means whatever possessions you have, if you really love someone, you're willing to sacrifice. Love means sacrifice. If you really love someone, you'll sacrifice anything you have, you'll give to them. Your money, your name, your fame, like the gopis. Yadustijam aryapatam chahitwa. Yadustijam swajanam aryapatam chahitwa. The gopis gave up everything. Bejor Mukundam, because they were in love with Mukunda. They were in love with Krishna. So they could swajana, their own people, their aryapatam, their name, their fame, their lokadharma, shame, name, fame, everything. Okay, chordye. No problem. Tyag. Because they were attached to the service of the lotus feet of Mukunda Padavim. Shrutivira Mimrigyam, which is very difficult for the Shrutis to attain. So this shows by the gopis' example how much love liberates. Liberates, when you're not liberated, it means you're attached. Attached means you're not liberated. You're attached to your body, you're attached to your money, your position, your name. But if you really love someone, you'll give it all up. Look at the greatest conquerors of the world. Caesar. He gave up everything because he loved Cleopatra. He sacrificed his country, his name, his army, his wealth, his body, everything. There's so many examples of that. For some empty, colorless, pale, material love. It was only lust. So this is what happens when one comes to the platform of serving Krishna. This is bhakti yoga. It says, Savaipam bhakti yoga adhoksaja. Bhakti yoga adhoksaja. When one is connected with adhoksaja, when one loves Krishna, and this is the whole principle of bhakti, is to awaken and develop our love for Krishna, you can do anything. You can sacrifice anything. And it makes you happy. When you sacrifice, you're willing to give everything to your beloved. So that means you get liberated. There's nothing more for you. So when we develop relationship with Krishna, then we give everything to Krishna. There's nothing we can't give to him, and we feel happy about it. Devotees don't feel any remorse. Oh, I gave up this, I lost that, I gave up this. There's no lamentation. Lamentation is tamagun. And the devotees become free. Tada rajas tamo bhava, right? It says that kama lobariyaschaya. It says cheta etar anavidam. It says shuddha. It says sattvam. It says shuddha sattvam. No, shuddha stitam precedity. There's another verse in Bhagavatam. It says the same thing. Supersedity, precedity. This verse from Bhagavatam talks about ruchi and asakti. That when the devotee becomes fixed in his loving relationship with Krishna, he's very happy. And he's not calculating, oh, I'm loving Krishna to get this. I'm serving Krishna to get that. That's why it's a hoitaki. And his answer, and Sudha Goswami's answer to the sages, what can completely satisfy the self? How can a human being find ultimate satisfaction? He said, Sudha Goswami, 5,000 years ago in this country, the answer was given. You want to be satisfied? Not by money, not by aping, not by aping America. Aping, mocking, imitating America. Monkey see, monkey do. Oh, you have hamburgers? We do too. Monkey see, monkey do. This is called aping. Ha, ha, ha. Oh, you have McDonald's? We do too. You have Playboy magazine? So do we. You have whiskey, Johnny Walker? Oh, we're walking with Johnny also. We're walking and talking with Johnny and going to hell with Johnny. Follow Johnny and go to hell. Follow the Mahajans and go to Krishna. Mahajana yena kata sapanta. Dharmasya tatvam nihitam guhayam. We come in India, we come from a tradition of Mahajans, Mahajanacharyas, gurus, saints, sadhus, liberated personalities absorbed in Prem Samadhi. Hanuman was absorbed in Prem Samadhi of Ram. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was absorbed in Prem Samadhi of Krishna and Radha Bhav. This is Samadhi, this is Prem. And so when one comes here, then this satisfaction comes. And he's not thinking, oh, and when one advances in devotion, he feels so much satisfaction, he wants to do more and more service. There's no retirement. It's not like you work to retire. You work to work. Because our work is not work. People in the material world, they work, but they're dissatisfied with their work, and they're waiting to retire. They're waiting for the weekend so they can play. Work means drudgery, dissatisfaction. Play, at least ostensibly, play is meant to produce satisfaction or happiness. But usually it doesn't happen. You try, but it backfires. But devotees, they work very hard. And that work is called seva. And that seva is actually play. Our work is actually play. We enjoy. We enjoy serving Krishna. We don't want any pay. We don't want any promotion. We don't want any position. We're happy just by the work itself. And someone says, what do you want? I want more bhakti, more service. Because this actually satisfies the Atma. Everywhere, all around this world, millions of people are catching this wave. They're catching this wave of devotion. And they're riding it. They're riding that wave. And they're feeling the ultimate satisfaction. Ahoitaki apratiyata. Yatma supersediti. So this, they're becoming attached. First you get ruchi. When one is free from lust and greed, when one becomes free from tada rajas tamo bhava, raja tamo bhav. This is in the verse, in the first canto, second chapter, verse 19. Tada rajas tamo bhava. It's a bhav. Lust is a bhav. Greed is a bhav. It's a deep feeling. We're driven, we're pushed, we're forced by greed and lust. It's a bhav. It's a tada rajas tamo bhava. And it says, kama loba adiyas, kama loba adi. Beginning with kam and lo, lust and greed. His anger is just simply the sister. The sister, the two brothers are lust and greed. That's why Shukamuni is saying, kama loba adiyas chaye. But what happens when one takes up devotion, surrenders to Krishna, he gets ruchi. He gets taste for Krishna. He finds satisfaction. His atma becomes pleased. His mind becomes peaceful. He becomes truly joyful. Kevalananda kanda, ananda maya. He becomes filled with bliss, the happiness of serving Krishna. So this creates a ruchi. So this is the first half of this verse from Bhagavatam explains bhakti ruchi, taste and devotion. He's free from the influence of ignorance and passion. Ignorance brings with it laya. Laya means sleeping. And passion brings with it vikshape. Vikshape means distraction, desire. The pushing, the force of desire. I must have this, I must have it, I have to have it. Ah! Burning. There are five influences of Kandarpa. He has five arrows and they create five influences. And one is infatuation. Infatuation. Maddening. Pramad, maddening, infatuation. And then burning. When Kandarpa, Cupid, lust, Kamdev, when he hits the heart, when he attacks the heart, you become infatuated, intensely attracted. Then you go mad. Then you burn and go mad. So this is Rajagun, Tamagun. the fire of passion, Raja, Rajagun. But the devotee becomes fixed and he gets a taste from serving Krishna and he feels satisfied by devotion. So that's Ruchi. Then as he goes further, then he becomes attached to Krishna. And this is Stitam, Satwe Stitam, supersedity. He becomes, Stita means fixed. When one is attached to someone, he's very fixed in a relationship. If you're attached to your wife, that means you're very fixed. You're stitam. Stitam means fixed. He becomes fixed in goodness, the goodness of love. And that's called asakti, attachment to Krishna in love. Satve stitam, supersedity. So this is the offering that Lord Chaitanya came to give, how to find satisfaction, how to act, action for the pleasure of Sat, for Krishna. And this gives real satisfaction. And this is experiential. This is not simply, you can say, dogma. It is not, it is pradyaksha bhagavam dharmyam susukam kartavadiyam. Krishna is telling Gita, pratyaksha dharma. Pratyaksha dharma means tasty religion. Religion you can taste. Pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam. That this dharma, this religion, this relationship, religion in English means, or you can say in Latin, if you take the word religion, means religio. Religio means to reconnect. Dharma is translated as religion, occupational duty, action in relationship to the Supreme. So religion means to connect with God. So when one connects with God, then he finds satisfaction, because that is our eternal position. But now we're trying to find satisfaction in temporary objects, in limited lovable objects. But pratyaksha bhagavam dharmya means when you engage in bhakti, pratyaksha means it's manifest. The dharma, the connection. The pratyaksha dharma means your connection, our connection with God becomes manifest. Where? Right here. When? Right now. How? In the heart. In the mind. And what happens when you establish that connection? And when it manifests, pratyaksha dharma? This is Gita, 9th chapter of Gita. Maybe verse 3. Rajavidyam rajaguyam pavitram paramambhamam. Pratyaksha bhagavam dharmyam susukam kartamadhyam. Then when that relationship is established and Krishna manifests, pratyaksha means manifest, experienced, tasted, seen, felt, perceived. When one has this experience with Krishna, then susukam, susukam, kartavavyam. Then everything you're doing is susuk. Not suk, but susuk. A very special sweetness comes in your mind. A very flavorful mellow. A flavorful mellow comes in your heart. It's called bhakti ras, the mellow. You become enchanted by Govinda. You become captivated by Govinda. What does Govinda mean? Govinda means that person, that eternal person who gives satisfaction to the senses. Govinda. So this verse is about dissatisfaction. Sati was dissatisfied because she wasn't connected with Govinda. At least at this moment. She was too much wrapped up in family relationships. Oh, my father did this, my father did that. She was affected by it. She let it get to her mind. Of course, it's teaching many things on many levels. But she was affected by this material relationships. But one who's fixed in his Govinda, Prem Sambandha, in his relationship with Govinda, this is called Sattva Stitam. He's fixed in that goodness, in that sweet goodness, that sweet goodness, that taste of love, that taste of devotion that one derives, that one experiences by surrendering and serving Krishna, that supreme lovable person, then he can't be swayed by popular opinion. He can't be moved by family and friends who try to say, oh, this is wrong, that's wrong. He can't be moved. Sati was disturbed and dissatisfied because supersedity. Superseding means such an intense form of satisfaction comes by devotion that nothing can shake you, nothing can move you. You'll never leave that position. So this is the birthright. And Lord Chaitanya came to give this. That's why he's most magnificent. We say, Namo Maha Vananyaya. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Varanyaya means most munificent. Munificent means generous. So what is the greatest? Why is he munificent? Why is he so great? Because he's giving the greatest gift. What is the greatest gift? What is the greatest gift that you could give anyone? The greatest gift is the gift of love. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahavana Krishna Prema Pradhayate. First it said he's munificent. And anyone who's giving the gift of love, he is the most munificent, generous person. So Lord Chaitanya has come to give every jiva, every living entity, the gift of divine love. And that is our birthright. That is packed within the Atma. Atma Prem is constitutional. Atma Prem is inherent in the jiva, but is dormant. Because we're not interested. We're interested in Sharir Prem, Priti. Nunam pramatta kuru te vikarma, yet indriya pritya aprinoti. Prahlad Maharaj says, we're mad, nunam pramatta, we become mad by flesh love. We're mad because of flesh love. We love the flesh and it's driven us mad. Nunam pramatta kuru te vikarma. We engage in all wrong things because of our love for the flesh. Nunam pramatta kuru te vikarma, yet indriya pritya aprinoti. Indriya priti. We love our senses, indriya priti. I love my body. Especially in Bombay, there's so much body love. So much body love. Long hair, body, lipstick, makeup, fancy clothes. Look at me. I am my body, I love my body. But are you satisfied? N-O. No. Wholesale dissatisfaction, because you are missing the point. Missing the point means you are devoid of Atma Prem. You are missing your connection with Krishna. So close, but so far. This is the problem. So therefore, enlightenment. We must hear Krishna Upadesh, that we are meant to love Krishna, to love God. Our satisfaction is there. The greatest thinkers of India, the greatest thinkers, the biggest assembly of think tank, the original think tank, the IBM think tank, where all the intelligentsia and learned people of India gathered, was at Naimisharanya. 60,000 smart guys, 60,000 Apple executives, IBM executives, Microsoft Word executives, they all got together and asked the question, how to find happiness? How to find satisfaction, ultimate satisfaction, supersedity, super satisfaction. How? By ahoitaki apratiyata, bhaktir, bhakti yoga ahoksaje, by serving ahoksaja Krishna, by surrendering to him, and it's joyfully performed. As I said, susukam kartavaviyo. And when one actually has a loving feeling, when we awaken a loving feeling for Krishna, we happily serve Him. We happily give anything to Him and everything to Him and feel happy about it. Take the example of charity. Sometimes we have to give charity. Give some money to some club or to some orphanage or hospital, whatever. And we do it, but we don't really feel very happy about it. Say, well, I have to give this donation. I'm a rich man or whatever. Everyone's looking at me. How much are you going to give? So out of pressure, peer pressure, societal pressure, we give some donation. But we don't feel happy about it. And actually we feel a little dissatisfied. Oh, why I gave that donation? My wife pressurized me. But giving to Krishna, when we give to Krishna, we don't feel that. In bhakti, we don't feel that dissatisfaction. Oh, why did I do it? I shouldn't have done it. Because real love means that you want to give everything. And in giving everything, you feel satisfied. The more you give to Krishna, the more you feel satisfied. The less you give to Krishna, the less satisfied you feel. Because Krishna is the one and only object of love for every jiva in the world. He is the one lover for everyone. So somehow or other, Sati didn't get the word. She was dissatisfied because she was too much embroiled and attached to her family relationships. So when one becomes a devotee, he maintains everything peacefully, but he's not disturbed. Because he's experiencing rasa. Rasuvarjam rasopyasya pramjasvani vartate. The higher taste, the ever increasing taste of his loving relationship with Krishna is so satisfying, so fulfilling, that he doesn't look anywhere else for satisfaction. He does his duty, husband, wife, children, family, everything he's doing being done. But he's drawing his satisfaction from the very source itself. He's going right to the source, Gangotri, the source of the Ganga. So the source of happiness is the Atma. And so the devotee, he extracts and draws his happiness from the Atma itself. And the Atma distributes that happiness to the soul, distributes that happiness to the senses, to the body and the mind. That's why chanting Govinda Nam, serving Govinda, gives satisfaction. And anyone can experiment and find the result. Simply go around all day chanting Govinda, 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 Govinda. And you'll see how much happiness you find just by chanting Govinda. It's only one of Krishna's names. So Lord Chaitanya is distributing these names, Hariharaya Nama, Krishna Yadavaya Nama, distributing these names, and in these names is Prem. The secret to satisfaction is in Nam Sankirtan. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. All satisfaction can be found in this Maha Mantra. So one has to surrender to this Maha Mantra, serve this Maha Mantra, and find an ocean of happiness is awaiting us. Anandam Buddhivardhanam. There's no need to be dissatisfied. We don't have to follow in Sati's footsteps. We can offer our pranams to her and say, thank you very much. You show me you're dissatisfied with family relationships. I've also find so much dissatisfaction. But unlike you, I'm taking advantage of your example and I'm turning to Krishna to find satisfaction. And one will find satisfaction. Satisfaction? Guaranteed. Money back offer. They have so many useless products which break after 1 year. They say on the package, satisfaction guaranteed. Our service is your satisfaction. Our pleasure is your satisfaction. All these phrases. But this is really full satisfaction guaranteed. If you don't get satisfaction, give me back the mantra. Give the mantra back to me. If you don't get set, then give me the Maha Mantra back. Give me back the 10th canto Bhagavatam, Krishna book. I give you Maha Mantra, I give you Chaitanya Charitamrita. Read these books, serve these teachings, chant this mantra, I guarantee you'll get satisfaction. Anyone want a challenge? And by reading Bhagavatam, Dasama Skanda, Krishna's Leela, and by chanting his holy name, and reading Gaura Leela, Chaitanya Charitamrita, and trying to follow those teachings, I guarantee, my Guru Maharaj guarantees, the entire Parampara guarantees, Shukadev Goswami guarantees, Vyasa Muni guarantees, all the Mahajanacharyas, Lord Shiva guarantees, that you indeed will get ultimate and complete supersedity, full satisfaction in mind, senses, intelligence, buddhi, everything. Guaranteed. So I entertain any questions. Love is the principle. Love is based on attraction. No attraction. If there's love there, there's attraction. Love is based on attraction. And when there's attraction, there's movement. So Krishna, what does the word Krishna mean? Krishna means attraction and satisfaction. The very word that we chant means attraction and satisfaction. Krishna means karshati, attraction. And Ananda means satisfaction. If you're in bliss, you're satisfied. Krishna, 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 Anand, Krishna. Attraction and satisfaction. So we're attracted to so many things in the material world. Man, woman, food, cars, money, position, fame, bungalows, this, that, travel, excitement, adventure. So much travel, so much attraction. And we go for it. As I say, we go for it. We try to grab it, hold it, possess it, exploit it, extract it, squeeze it, enjoy it. And what's the result? Ennui. Ennui. It's a French term, ennui. We lose the desire to live, ennui. We become dissatisfied, frustrated. Oh, here we go again. It didn't work. But Krishna guarantees attraction and satisfaction guaranteed. The name means that. The very name means attraction and satisfaction. He can attract everyone. And if you become attracted to Krishna Govinda, you'll become fully satisfied. Yes, your question? The gentleman's devotee's question is that everyone knows that sukh and dukkha are caused by us. Tateno kampam shushamikshamano banjana evatmana kritam vipakam kritam vipakam. Brahma is telling in Bhagavatam that our happiness and distress is caused by our own activities. So Sati's happiness or distress at the hands of her father Daksha is not really the cause of her unhappiness or dissatisfaction. It's her. So therefore, if knowing that point of philosophy, why did she give up her body? This is the question. So of course she also knows that. But as I said, that the Lord and his devotees, the Bhagavatam is the story of the Lord and his devotees. The Lord comes to teach and the devotees come to teach. So just like Arjuna, you can also ask the question, Arjuna or Arjuna, he's a Nitya Parishad of Krishna. He's a Vaikunthavasi. He's eternally living with the Lord in Vaikuntha. How can he become bewildered? How can he become disturbed on the battlefield? It was Leela. He came to teach for our benefit. So Sati, and they're great devotees. Sati is also one of the greatest devotees. Great Param Vaishnavi. So she's displaying this apparent bewilderment to teach us. It's for teaching us. She's not bewildered. Is Arjuna bewildered? Is he subject to illusion? Bewilderment means tamagun. But he's playing that role to teach us. So Sati is playing this role to teach us that this happens to us. That we get influenced by our father or father-in-law, and we feel so disgusted, and we blame someone else for our problems rather than ourselves. But the real principle she was saying, what Sati is actually teaching here is that you cannot get satisfaction from material relationships. This is what she's teaching. Material relationships, father, mother, husband, wife, children, will not give satisfaction. Look at my example. My father, he offended my husband in such a way I became so dissatisfied with my father, I became so angry with my father's misdeeds and misbehavior that I threw away my body. I immolated my body. I was so dissatisfied. So this shows she was very unhappy. She was very much affected by material relationships. So she's teaching us, don't be affected like me. Don't give up your body. Throw your body in the fire of surrender. Throw, like Hegel, the German philosopher, said, you have to die to live. He said, die to live means burn up your old conceptions, burn up your misconceptions, and live in a new conception. Burn up, you have the idea that this body will give me satisfaction. We have the conception or idea that if I get one body, a woman's body, I'll be satisfied. If I get a man's body, I'll be satisfied. This is Maya. This is misconception. Burn up that misconception by experience. Burn up that misconception by hearing. Burn up that misconception by realization, enlightenment. And then that misconception dies, and then you can live in the true reality that I am a divine servitor, I am the servitor of the supreme divinity. Then my happiness is there, my satisfaction is here, in the service of the Lord. This is true conception, Krishna conception. Another question? You made some point which I could comment on, which I mentioned in the beginning, which I didn't get to. You talked about dissatisfaction. And sometimes devotees even feel dissatisfaction. Once I met with one saintly person, and he asked me, how is your bhajan, how is your devotional service? I said, everything's going nicely, and I'm quite satisfied. I gave this answer. And then this saintly person looked at me, as one of a great saintly person, Gaudiya Vaishnava, and he looked very concerned and very unhappy. And he said, oh, and I said, why? You look very unhappy with my answer. I gave the answer. You asked, how am I? How is my bhajan? How is my seva? I said, everything's going nicely. By Guru's grace, Guru Kripa, everything's fine. And he looked like, oh, he looked so upset and sad. And I saw that change in his mood. And I said, why? You seem to be somewhat distressed. He said, yes, you gave me very bad news. You gave me very bad news. You said you were very satisfied in your bhajan and everything's going nicely. Of course, I was a little perplexed, as you also are, by his reply. And then he went on to explain, because if you're saying this, I can understand that you're not advancing in bhakti. And then he went on to explain, if a devotee is advancing in devotion, advancing in bhakti, he will never say, oh, everything is atik rahega, everything is very nice, everything's wonderful. Everything's wonderful, everything's nice, Krishna's mercy, everything's nice, I'm very sad, very happy, very satisfied. This means you're in a problem. You're in difficulty. Because if you're actually advancing in bhakti, you feel, if someone asks you, how are you doing? Oh, I'm not doing very good. I don't have any attachment to Krishna. I don't chant the holy name only an hour a day. I chant the holy name at a couple hours. I'm not very much, I have no taste for this holy name. I feel so fallen, and when will I ever get the mercy of the Vaishnavas? And I think I'm being punished for my offenses. And Yamaraj is punishing me and not letting me take to this movement. Although I see it and it's right in front of me, somehow I can't surrender. I feel so... This is very good. This is a very good sign that one feels so much humility, so much wretchedness. He feels wretchedness in his heart that I have so far to go, and he doesn't feel proud and complacent and satisfied. He's always hankering for more. Because bhakti, the very nature of bhakti is it creates hankering. It creates yearning and hankering for more, more, more. It's called utkantita. Utkantita bhav. The bhav or the feeling or the mellow or the mood, that eagerness, utkantita. I'm not satisfied with where I am. I have to go further. And then maybe I go further. And I've gone to a higher level. I went from anartha nivritti. I came to the level of nishta. Nishchita bhakti. But I'm not satisfied, because we have to go on to ruchi. And now I come to ruchi and bhakti. But I'm not satisfied. I have to become attached to Krishna, the person, asakti. Oh, now I'm attached. Oh, but I have no feelings. I have no bhav. There's no ras. I'm dry like a desert. I have to come to bhav. Then I come to bhav. Oh, I'm on the threshold of prema. I'm standing in the light of bhav. But I don't know what is my eternal form. What is my eternal relationship? Oh, Krishna, how will I ever serve you in the spiritual world? What is my siddhadeya? What is my eternal relationship? Who is my guru? Oh, I'm so dissatisfied. So even in devotional line, there's transcendental dissatisfaction. You know, someone will say, oh my God, dissatisfaction here, dissatisfaction there. If I stay in the material world, I'm dissatisfied. If I come into the spiritual sadhana, I'm also dissatisfied. Ah, forget it. I just stay where I am. Anyway, we'll stop there. Srimad Bhagavatam ki.